Good Saturday morning and welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell in with you with Kendall Atkinson. We'll talk to Coach Alex Seaton here in just a minute about last night's game with South Gibson. Also coming up a little bit later on, we'll talk about who's coming to town next week as the Tigers will be back home finally after being on the road a couple of days. Kurt's not in today. We want to wish him congratulations to him. Molly, Sam, had a baby girl last night, so congratulations to Kurt and Jana and all the families.
Excused absence.
Yeah, excused absence. And, of course, we don't want to forget Bob and Janie, other grandparents. That's right. So, Sam, a really good football player a few years back. He's old now.
Yep, old man, washed up.
Old man, washed up, yep. Tell him he can't run. Yeah,
he'll challenge that. I've already done that
before. He still challenges that. I was talking to him. Oh, gosh. Alex probably remembers this, but I was talking to him not long ago, and he brought up something. Well, I can't say what it is now. I just remembered. But he brought up something he wasn't happy about from 2007.
He's just too competitive.
He is.
Like all of us in this room.
Who was faster? Yeah. Like all of us in this room. Me and Kendall were talking about that on the way home last night. We were talking about the broadcast. And, you know, when you do the broadcast and when you have a game like you did last night and you have weather, it was an odd game. We talked about it just had a weird vibe to it all night long. I don't know what that was, if it's just being in a new place. But we were just talking about, you know, a lot of times when you're doing the broadcast, things come out or things said, and you got to understand that we're competitors too, in a way that fire still burns a little bit, you know, as you're watching something, you know, we're fans too. But for the most part, you know, our job is to kind of paint a picture for you, what we're looking at. Of course, now with the streaming, and streaming as clear as it's ever been, you can get that picture. We don't even have to paint it anymore.
No, we're done painting. However, the weather last night would have been hard to paint accurately, I guess you would say.
That was a mess.
Buckets of rain last night.
Yep, in the second quarter and stuff. So we got a lot to talk about. Lord, my voice is like I've smoked about four heaters before I come out here. That's the way it gets. I mean, we're three games in.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but anyway, Kirk will be in next week. Congratulations to their family and on the birth of a new baby girl. I have no idea what the name is. Do you know?
I think it's Ada.
Ada?
Yeah.
Okay. He's probably upset because it wasn't named after him.
I'm sure.
Kirk Tina or something
I'm
like
sure.
that.
I'm sure, yeah.
But anyway, we got some other stuff to talk about as well, some scores from last night, and also SEC in full force today. We'll talk about the games coming up. And, of course, we got a game coming up right here on 93.5 FM, the Ball Network. Will take over at 4:30. Kickoff time is at 6:30 tonight. So right here on 93.5 FM. And anything else you got? I mean, it's a beautiful Saturday. Got a little wind blowing, a little fall.
That's it, yeah.
In the air. Feels like football season out.
Unfortunately, we, you know, had to battle the cold front that resulted in the weather right now. So that was kind of unfortunate. But, you know, another beautiful day to wake up and enjoy a good weekend full of college football.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I think I'm going to set golf out today and stay at home.
I know that's eating you up.
Yeah. Yeah. Not really. I woke up, man. My shoulders and arms were numb, and I think my foot was asleep.
You did say you're about to turn 62, so.
Yeah, on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait. I mean, I want to get there. I did use the senior citizen discount the other day. I went and played golf up at Pickwick. I said, I'm a senior citizen now. Save me $10.
There you go.
That's a good line.
You also get a cheap coffee at McDonald's for.
Can you?
Yeah, sure enough.
All right, I can get some money off of Logan. Hey, Justin Reynolds, law firm. He wants to remind you, if you or someone you know has been in hurt in a car accident, and that's what he focuses on. He focuses on his practice and representing clients who have been injured in a car, truck, or motorcycle accident and helping families who have lost a loved one with a wrongful death claim. Call Justin at 731-925-7000 or go to helpmejustin.com. Helpmejustin.com. So if you've been hurt in an accident and you want to navigate the legal world, Justin Reynolds is your guy. Give him a call, 731-925-7000. Also, I want to remind you about the Poppy Pack. Poppy's Barbecue over in Crump, Tennessee. They got the pick six. They got three games going on this time. You got three chances to win a Poppy Pack. And then also check on the Tailgate Party Pack. I think they did that just for us here for Friday nights and Saturdays.
That's a good deal.
Oh, it is.
I don't know if anybody knows the details of that.
Yeah, it is a good deal.
It's a great deal.
And go over there and ask them about that Tailgate Party Pack. Get your tailgate party on during college football or during high school football on a Friday night. That's Poppy's Barbecue over in Crump, Tennessee. And also the 101 years of Hardin County football on sale, $40. You can get them at Home Banking. I think they're going to be available at Hardin County Bank Insurance Agency soon. So you'll be able to pick one up there, 101 years of Tiger football. So let's take a time out. When we come back, we're going to talk with Coach Alex Seaton about last night's game with South Gibson. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell in with you this morning. Beautiful Saturday morning. Sun's out. North wind. What, about 10, 15 miles per hour? Ridiculous weather.
Feels like fall.
It does. Feels great outside. Looking forward to staying inside and watching games. Feels so good outside.
You said that with a blank stare.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Long drive last night. You know, Alex, we'll bring in Coach Alex Seaton. Alex, our goal last night on the post game, and we did it. I told everybody, stay tuned for the post game show. It's going to be a quick one. We got to get to Chick-fil-A. And we made it.
Yeah, barely.
We got the equipment broke down, got it in the car, got to Chick-fil-A at 9:45.
Close at 10.
Close at 10. They weren't closing anytime soon. Yeah. There was about 1,000 cars there. It was unbelievable. But anyway, we got our Chick-fil-A. But Kendall forgot to get my mayonnaise for my chicken sandwich. So I ate it dry. That's how hungry we were.
I wore that one, though.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I ate it dry. I thought about ketchup, but I went, nah. I don't know. I don't want ketchup. I will eat a pickle. Oh, my. But last night, go over to South Gibson for the first time. Great facilities over there, new to our district. So first time that we've had the opportunity to be over there. I did do a baseball game over there. Hardin County went over there before they were in the district about 2 or 3 years ago and got to do a game over there. But they've really done a great job with that facility over there. And I was trying to explain to Kendall, and maybe you can tell me, we went over to Mississippi and played a team. We played them back-to-back.
Lewisburg, Mississippi.
Lewisburg, Mississippi. And it was kind of the same deal. You're driving along, and all of a sudden you see a subdivision, and then right in the middle of the subdivision is a campus.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that, but it was very similar where it's like go through town, go through, and then all of a sudden you're going through some cornfields, and there pops up a very nice high school.
Yeah, very nice high school. Yeah, very nice field. Same thing over there last night. That's the first time I've been to their football stadium, and I don't think I went that way to the baseball field. But anyway, really nice facilities. Looking forward to going over there, first district matchup. Two teams that, to me, and still today, even after the result, look pretty comparable in size and kind of what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I agree with that. We thought going into it on film that we were very similar in our makeup. I think that line-wise, very similar in spots, speed-wise, all the way around, kind of what we want to do offensively, defensively, which is something I was going to hit on in a second. It seems like it always falls this way. Did something completely different than what they'd ever done to this point, but swapped in and out of different things. But anyway, I think that's an accurate statement that I thought it was a fairly even matchup between the two of us.
Well, we Goad and Ben came down when it started raining, and we were talking about the game, and they were watching South Gibson warm up, and they go, hey, we got to go talk to Smitty because they're not doing the looks that they have shown on film. For
and that
two
was
games.
Offensively.
Yeah, offensively.
And that's it really is, we joke, the things that we see on film, we might as well stop practicing it during the week because I think it's like 4 weeks in a row or 3 weeks in a row, and then probably going back to last year too, where teams have come out doing something completely different. So it just got to adapt, and especially defensively, I thought that we handled those things pretty well.
Well, I mean, one thing we were talking about up there in the press box was, I think it was probably halfway through the first quarter, or maybe after the first quarter was over, and I looked at Steve and I was like, the film I've watched, they were about 70% run. You know, here they are tossing it around and doing all these little, I mean, it was like a completely different team when it comes to what they did offensively. And now, I mean, it doesn't surprise me now that they did some different things defensively. But you're right. I feel like as the years have gone by, it's almost like the film has become less and less of a, you know, not so much of a context clue thing. Now it's like, well, they may mix and match some things, but it, you know, in the entirety, I don't know if it's going to be exactly like it was.
Yeah, I think some of it, probably in hindsight, they're very similar to us. They've got some kids that are going both ways a lot in some spots, and I think they may have done some of that maybe to try to keep guys from having to do that because they were like tight end sets and all that with eight being in on playing offense a lot and probably seeing his defensive play was probably lacking because of that. And so they got into more what we call a tray set where there's no tight end, just an H-back, and did more of that. And they'd shown a little bit of it, but not to the extent that they basically ran it all night. But anyway, but adapt and go, that's part of the game.
So. Well, I mean, you also wonder, you know, they're kind of banged up. One of their main guys being heavily recruited to Ole Miss, as one of the guys up there in the press box told us, he was down with a knee injury, and then they had another kid out with a knee injury. So who knows how much that played a role into what they did when it came to offense. I know big number eight, he didn't have the hands that number nine did.
Right.
So I'm sure that kind of changed things up for them when it came to, you know, how much they can open the playbook. But it's like you just said, it's one of those where you got to adapt, you know, quickly and try to
– Yeah.
Which I thought for the most part
– Yeah.
I mean, with them catching us on our heels there, I would say we were on our heels a little bit with a new look, that is.
Right.
I thought our defense did, you know, they played really well when it came to limiting their, you know, big plays.
Yeah, especially the amount of time the defense was on the field, 20 points especially. I mean, just kind of starting with their very first drive – they take it all the way down to about, you know, after penalties, whatever, to the two, I think, and we still are able to get off the field, getting a stop, and there were some bad things, but at the end of the day, we got off the field, and there that was like that off and on all night. So defensively, we were pretty good for the most of the night.
All right, we're talking with Coach Alex Seaton. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Well, I just ran all that together. I can't get anything working today for some reason. It'll come back to me. I need some coffee. That's what it is. We'll take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we'll have more with Coach Alex Seaton. You're listening to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Thanks so much for tuning in to the program this morning on this beautiful Saturday, beautiful football Saturday. I hope you enjoyed Coach to Coach that came on before us. And if you hadn't listened to that, I encourage you to get up and listen to two ex-college coaches, NFL coaches, players break down football in a way that when you get at that level, you know, there's not a whole lot of people can break down film and break down players and look at talent and assess all that like they can. It's Doug Matthews and Dave McGinnis. Doug was a coach at Tennessee with Coach Majors and also played at Vandy, All-American. Dave McGinnis was with the Titans at one time, coach there. So I encourage you to do that. That comes on at 8 a.m. each Saturday morning. Alex, talking about the game last night and just thinking about it, I went back when I got home and I watched a little bit of the first half of the game. And you were talking about that first drive. What they were doing to us, we were thinking we're going to run, or they're going to run. And, you know, Kendall noted that, well, they've come out and they just started throwing little short passes down the field. And we were giving them that cushion to do, and then we quickly made some adjustments there. I think they had a couple of runs there. I think the big run for them was looked like one of our old plays. We used to run with Cal a lot and Rivers a lot with the quarterback draw.
Yeah.
And they got us on that a couple of times. But like I said, got it down to the two. We get a couple big plays. We end up with the football and head the other way. Saunders gets a big run, gets us in positive field territory. And the one thing, though, we got down around the five or inside the five and couldn't finish. And that was kind of like last week. It happened to us last week, mm-hmm. too. We got in that where all the windows are closing.
Right. Yeah, you can't – it's the same thing we've been preaching. You got to be able to finish. If I've said finish once, I've said it 100 times, I bet, to this point. But, you know, you get down there and you get a penalty, false start penalty, moves us back. And then that, you know, that makes it even tougher there where, you know, and as you said, the down there, the space, everybody's at the line of scrimmage essentially. So you've got to pick up all your blocks. You can't have a whiff up front. You got to be able to catch a snap, make a throw, make a handoff, take care of the football. And say all that, I mean, we want to finish in the end zone. We were able to get points. But outside of that, it was a lot of similar things where we've got 10 guys doing the right thing on the field and one guy messes up and that costs you. So you got to have 11 guys executing, and that's it.
I know, and that's a real thing. And I've told this story a long time ago, but Tennessee. Well, I went to a game. Tennessee was playing Georgia, and I happened to go play golf that morning. And God, what was his name? Kendall. He played. He was a linebacker with Hacksaw Reynolds at the time at Tennessee. I can't remember his name, but anyway, I'm playing golf with him and Heath Shuler. Real estate partner. We just got paired up with him. So anyway, we're talking about the game. So I'm Coach Sanders was coach. That's when, senior moment, man. How old am I? What's my name?
You spoke it into existence.
Yeah. Sanders was the OC.
Yeah, Sanders was the OC. But anyway, they were having trouble with what fans, you know, the play calling and score and stuff like that. But I asked him the question about that, and he said the same thing that you said. He said, it doesn't matter what play you call. If you don't have 11 people that execute that play, mm-hmm. it's not going to work. If one doesn't execute out of the 10, that's what people don't understand.
Yeah.
With some more colorful language, but that's what he was talking about.
Even more so, coaching the offensive line, this is what I told them constantly, because you're viewed as basically one position, offensive line, because you've got five guys that are running a play, and if one guy messes up, then guess what? All y'all are terrible, you know, from just the outside perspective. You know, yeah. It has nothing to do with the guy, the right tackle who mauled his guy, created the gap, but if, you know, the right guard whiffs or goes the wrong way, takes a bad step, hitting the backfield, then guess what? Everybody's terrible, you know. So you've got to work through that together. It's one unit, and once again, not placing blame directly on them, just using that as the example, because there's plenty of things across the board as far as execution goes. But it's a tough position when you've got so much going on up front, and a step can make you in a bad spot. A bad step can.
Steve Kiner. Imagine I forgot that name.
You just now thought about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew it'd come to me.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
It would take a minute, but go ahead with your question, because I heard something this morning on Coast to Coach that he was talking about with the steps and stuff like that, but go ahead.
Well, thinking about it from, you know, obviously an offensive perspective, everything shrinks when you get inside the red zone. Your playbook shrinks, you know, field, the, you know, amount of room you've got to work with shrinks, and I think it just reiterates, you know, how you've got to tighten those bolts. And as a player, I remember it didn't register fully with me in the moment. Now it does, obviously, with, you know, a little bit more of maturity and seeing the game, watching the game since I've been out. But you don't really realize that hey, look, this is where we got to lock in. It's different from being at the 50. And so I think we talked about it off the air. It's, you know, you take one step forward and two steps back. I think we did that a couple times last night. And listen, that's going to happen. But I think more so it is the realization, as, you know, you don't want to harp too much on like leadership and whatnot. But collectively as a group, I think one thing that obviously you've done really well over the past couple of years when Coach Smith was the head coach, but it's ingrained in our bloodline is just like integrity. Obviously, when things are getting a little bit derailed, I think over the years we've done such a good job of realizing, look, we've all collectively, it's like something's got to change.
Right.
I'm sure there's a better way of wording it, and there probably was a different way of wording it last night. But that was a big test, you know, last night. I think when you get the realization, and I'm sure they realized it too, of, okay, there's so many negatives right now, whatever aspect of the game you want to, you know, point out, it all boils down to, like, what are we going to do to change it? How, when it comes to your, obviously, what you've got a very difficult position right now, but how does that kind of factor into what you kind of explain to the guys and, like, look, listen, let's find our makeup again and let's get this thing back on the rails?
Right. So, As you pointed out, those are all things too that have been a point of emphasis really since we got started, because you know, there was some of that crept in with the during the scrimmages that I said earlier. I said finish, because we would have drives, you know, positive things happen and then negative. It was more magnified last night, the game that of that magnitude and all that, with being a region game and all that. And those things are just so much more evident in a game like that. So anyway, obviously from a practice standpoint, that, you know, getting into red zone sets and being able to consistently put stuff together, giving them these different looks, which we've done, but over and over again and ingraining it, watching the film on it, you know, the pre-snap penalties is especially what gets under my skin a lot. And I understand defenses, we get to motioning, they're going to yell stuff. Last night they had an intentional, you know, they're shifting, things like that, trying to create confusion, get a false start, and they were successful at it. But it, you know, once again, that was something that hadn't seen a ton of that to this point. But we'd seen it this year, and I think it had handled it. But, you know, in the game last night, we did not. So, anyway, to answer your question, I think that it's still going to be a process that is something that, from my standpoint, is not going to be overlooked, but sure, we're going to have to reevaluate maybe how we're going about some of those things.
Right. Well, I was in watching the game, going back and watching it, a lot of things make more sense to you after, you know, you're watching it live and getting it raw, and then you go back and you go, oh, okay. But what I saw last night during the game and watching some of it on our YouTube channel, Slice 93, I can remember back when I think Kendall was a freshman. I think that was Matthew's
first year.
And we discussed how we got kids getting in the right spots, but just not able physically. You know, you got some kids out there that they're playing their first time, even though they're older. And right. They're playing their first time, but – I noticed a lot of times last night we had kids in the right spots to make the play. Just didn't make the play. And what that means is that's an extra 3, 4, 5 yards or even break one. Mm-hmm. But my question was, because I was listening this morning, the coach, and they were talking about technology today, and you were talking about footwork, taking a step here. That's stuff we don't know. Mm-hmm. And just watching the game, you know, what they're supposed to actually be doing or what the play was called, you know. But he was talking about footwork. And with technology today, high school kids, college, professionals, they can go back and watch their game. They can go back and watch everything they do on film. Do you feel like the kids do that nowadays, even though they got the technology to do it, that they're going to go home and sit and go through? Or is that more like somebody that's kind of like just kind of like a football junkie and just going to study all the time?
We certainly encourage it. I would like to tell you that every single kid does that, but that's not the case. But we do have a good number of kids that do go back and watch and, you know, look at their mistakes and things like that. Some of them, It's been this way. They like to watch the good stuff. They like to put their highlights together.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'd be surprised, some of them who have been exceptional players, not just this year or in years past, who may not even have a Huddle account that they log into.
Right.
It's a lot of it is just personality and how they go about things. But I mean, we certainly encourage it. Anybody that on the team has got the abilities to access any film that we have, all the way back, like, and we're able to go in and access to who watches it, how many minutes they've watched this week, things like that, so we can track it. I see Kendall gets his time in during the week.
Well, he has to, because me and Kirk are not. We're not going to get our time.
I try my best.
Yeah. He's here for one reason, and that's to get on the huddle. That's for sure. Hey, let's take a quick timeout. We're talking with Coach Alex Seaton. I want to remind you, if you're hurt in a car accident, motorcycle accident, truck accident, and you need help as a family, if you've lost a loved one in a wrongful death, I want you to give my guy, Justin Reynolds, a call, Justin Reynolds Law Firm. Call him at 731-925-7000 or go to helpmejustin.com and he will be able to navigate you through the legal world and hopefully get you back in the game. And he is a proud sponsor, because he told me he was, of Sports Talk, and we appreciate him being on here. Justin Reynolds, injury lawyer, plus a proud sponsor of Sports Talk. And also, want to remind you, Poppy's Barbecue over there, their pick six Poppy's is in Crump, Tennessee. Ask them about their tailgate party. They got three opportunities in their pick six. You need to get over there, pick you some games. You don't have to pick scores, just pick winners and losers. That's all you got to do over at Poppy's, and you could be a winner like moi did last week. As I got 5 out of 6, so I'm going to have to donate my Poppy pack to somebody, though. But anyway, I was a big winner last week, so it's a real thing, and it can happen for you. Go over to Poppy's Barbecue and play their pick six today. Let's take a quick timeout. More with Alex Seaton when we return. This is Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. We're gonna be all right. Welcome back to Sports Talk, right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell, along with Kendall Atkinson. We got Coach Alex Seaton in the hot seat on this Saturday morning. Appreciate Alex coming in. It was a long night last night. I don't know how long your night was. I know we got in around 11:30 last night. I'm sure you had a long night as well.
Yeah, I got home about 3:30.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you look good, though.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you cleaned up. You cleaned up good. We'll talk more about the game last night, and then we need to get off it and get to what's ahead for the Tigers coming up. But, you know, that first half kind of things went back and forth, and, you know, it wasn't a bad half. I mean, you're right in it. So I think, what was it, 7-3?
Yeah.
At halftime. And then in the second half, man, we just could not get anything going. The rains came. Offensively, we couldn't get a lot going. You know, the one thing you got to do is you got to get a snap, and then you got to execute the plays and stuff like that. And I don't know that they were doing anything differently. I did think, though, up front, they were very good. They seemed to stay in their gaps, and they didn't do a whole lot of fancy stuff. I mean, they just kind of – I don't know. We just found it hard to run between the tackles last night. They did a good job for the most part defensively of controlling the line of scrimmage. But I think what happened defensively is that they were on the field a lot, especially mm-hmm. in the second half, most of the second half. And you could tell there toward the end where, hey, we're still in this game. We're still in this game. We just need to get something good to happen.
Right.
We got back on our heels a little bit because we were tired.
Yeah. Very similar to last week where it was they were on the field for a lot and wore down at times, but I thought overall was very pleased with the effort. I mean, there's a couple things where we've got them, and, you know, the penalty for one comes to mind. I think watching it last night, well, I think they put the ball on the ground 3 or 4 times, but it hops right back to them, you know, have – I think would have probably been a pick six and gets off balance, bobbles it around, and we drop it. But it was in good position on the, you know, just a few plays here and there defensively could have helped us, hopefully could have sparked something, but didn't. But other than that, defensively, I can't really harp on it a whole lot. I thought they played well, and especially for what they were trying to do. As you mentioned earlier, they threw the ball more so than what they really shown. They threw it some, but, you know, they came out early on and said, you know, we're going to take these short routes. And we adjusted to that, was able to get on them a little tighter and kind of cut that out. And then aside from that one quarterback draw that you mentioned, I don't know that we had anything that was just completely – busted aside from the screen play. You know, that was another killer there that, you know, we've got some juices flowing and we're getting after them pretty good. And, you know, they saw us being aggressive and caught us on a good play. So, unfortunately.
Well, I think that aggression, though, came out after a penalty, maybe an unsportsmanlike. And, you know, it that sort of lit a fire under our defensive team. And after that, you know, we stuffed them a couple of plays. And like you said, that aggression came back to haunt us on that play. But, it was a crazy game.
Well, I mean, I think one thing, too, obviously, I'm an offensive guy rather than a defensive guy. My specialty is not defense. But, you know, when it comes to offense and not really getting anything flowing, I think, you know, adversity is just a chance. It's an opportunity. So, you know, looking at it last night, we had some things early that, you know, that were there and we kind of failed to – I know we've said execute a lot and finish a lot, but that's what it boils down to. And so I think collectively as a group, I think it just boils down to next week during practice I would assume you're going to relay the same info.
Yeah.
It's just kind of locking in and, you know, making sure that we correct the little things. Because last night the defensive coordinator for them had to kind of get the feel that, hey, we can just bring the house because they're, right.
That's what it turned into as well. That's what I was going to point out a minute ago, too, that especially in situations where we're trying to get some positive things going, trying to run the ball a little bit, get some positive plays to start, you know, maybe taking some shots. I mean, they have 6-7 guys in the box around the line of scrimmage, and they're coming downhill. I know at one point last night we paused it, and they had 7 guys at the line of scrimmage, you know, as the ball's being snapped. So, obviously that's more than what we're going to be able to pick up. So, even saying that, there was still small crease there if we could have got it, but you know it goes back to one guy's in a bad spot on his defender and able to get an arm on Jake, you know, things like that. So,
is there I noticed last night offensively, and I like what you were doing in the first quarter or so, first half. We talked last week, me and Kurt did, during the Giles County game, how we were running Jake between the tackles a lot. He's not a power back by any means, by stature.
Right.
But he's an outside guy. We got to find ways to get him outside. And I think y'all did that this week. Put him in motion a lot. Tried to get him in the passing game more.
Yeah.
In the sweep game more. And but the big play he ran was an off-tackle run that he bounced outside. He just got outside. And once he got that corner –
yeah,
you know, he got some daylight and he was gone. But if you got some packages that are coming up, or have y'all worked on anything with somebody else back there to help him, number one, or block him back or whatever, just different things you can do with him.
Yeah, I mean, as we've said from the go, I mean, he's had a lot of carries, you know, in the first few games, and we know that, you know, keeping him healthy is a big thing. So, yeah, we've got some stuff. We showed at least one play of that last night. Of course, one thing last night when the offense wasn't on the field as much, I mean, he didn't have as many snaps to get as many carries. So we didn't feel like we needed to get in it as much. But, yeah, we've got some things that we've worked on to try to help cut down on that. And like you said, trying to give him the ball, you know, split him out or motion him out of receiver, things like that. We had – I think it was down in the red zone it was on the first drive right there. I think he's the one that got it down to the two right before the false start we had. But, you know, motion him out, get him the ball quick, things like that that we've got in.
Yeah, unfortunately, this team this year, they've got to be pretty spot on. The negative stuff is hard to overcome.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. No, that's 100%, and goes back to I mean, we had preseason, pre-camp meeting when we showed up Sunday night at camp. We went through I'd put together a kind of a, you know, outline, expectations, what we've got to do, goals offensively, defensively, things like that. And you know, the things I harped on were execution, no negative plays, picking up third downs, taking care of the football, all those things, you know. We've got to be X amount on efficiency on third down, fourth down. If we get in the red zone, we got to score. I mean, nothing earth-shattering, but things that were put in front of them that these are our goals offensively. And I think negative plays is a big one, and that goes with penalties, pre-snap penalties, things like that, because, you know, we know that we're not going to score 50 points a game, so you've got to be able to execute and do the things that you can do to be successful. And it starts with that.
So you go back to work on Monday. Message to your team as y'all get ready for Memphis East to come back. Coming back home, and Memphis East will be in town. And they're another Memphis team that improved throughout the year last year. Unfortunately, I think they lost their coach about 2 weeks before the season started, so I don't know how that's going for them on that side of it. But they'll be a good opponent coming in.
Yeah. They promoted from within, I believe, talking with McKenzie's the one that, you know, they had originally told me that. And then he said that I think it was the offensive coordinator, which he had played in the NFL as well, the previous original head coach had it. And so they will be much improved from last year from a little bit that we've seen. I believe they beat Sheffield last night by a score or two. Lost week one, I think, against Melrose. But I think they're 2-1 coming in. Good size offensive line, good running back. They're going to try to run the ball. Yeah, well, who knows? they may throw it every now and then. I don't know. That's a good point.
Nothing has been what we thought.
But from what we've seen, we think that that's kind of their strong suit. They're going to try to run the ball. So I expect a good game, good football team coming in next Friday.
Good to be home.
Yeah, good to be home.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we went 2 in a row.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be at home. Tailgate party will start at 5. Tiger Walk at 5:55. Airtime is at 6:30 with the Central Bank pregame show. And then the kickoff at 7. Looking at scores from last night, Crockett County defeated Lexington 28-6. Northside 35, Obion 21, McKenzie 20, Chester County 13. And like you said, Memphis East 25, Sheffield 13. And our neighbors across the river there lost one to Huntington 43-12. And that's some of the high school scores, especially in our region, of interest. And last night, you know, before we get out of here, I started calling you Matthew. Before you get out of here, Alex, there was an interesting score over it. We were starting to get texts and stuff about it over at Scotts Hill, between Scotts Hill and Westview, and we saw the score. And I was asking Kendall, I said, that was the end of the game. And he said, no, that was like second quarter. I said, how in the world can you put that many points up in, what'd you say, 14, 15 minutes of a ball game?
Yeah. I don't know. I need to see some film on that. I mean, that, because it wasn't just last week. I mean, they're doing it.
They're doing every week,
regardless of the opponent. I had talked to a coach that's on staff up there, and he had told me all summer that he thought that they were going to be pretty special. And I, you know, a little bit of me, I'm thinking, this Simpson kid, he's still a freshman. You know, it might be a little learning curve, but evidently there's. Yeah. A learning curve there that he's
following his brother pretty well, I'd say, just based off of stats.
He had said that everybody up there thought that he was probably a better quarterback than the older brother. But I'm like, well, like,
that's a compliment.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I mean, he went to Alabama, so it wasn't like he was any slouch. So I don't know. He must be
the real deal.
Yeah,
really. And he's crazy. Surrounded by if you don't know what we're talking about, they were up. This is Martin Westview, 70-7 with 10 minutes to go.
Well, it was 70-0.
70-0.
With 10 minutes in the second quarter, and they called it, I think, just after halftime, and it was 70-7.
Yeah. He had told me, I think it was 42-0 at the end of the first quarter last week against Obion. So, that's a lot of possessions in a short amount of time.
Yeah it is. That's what I'm trying to figure out. How in the world do you get to 70 in that time frame?
Yeah.
Unless you're just hitting – 9 rounds, defense. Just one play, boom. Well, one
apparently
play,
he can sling it.
Well, he must have somebody can go get it.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Yeah, on the outside. But anyway, Alex, I appreciate you coming in today. A tough night last night as the Tigers fall 20-3 to South Gibson. will be back home this Friday night. Memphis East will be in town, and the Tigers try to even the record up against Memphis East. As like I said, tailgate party starts at 5, Tiger Walk 555. We encourage you to be out there and encourage the players and the coaches. And we'll be on the air at 6:30 with a pregame show, and we'll kick it off at 7. Alex, enjoy your Saturday. I know you're going to be busy watching film, doing all kinds of stuff. He did tell me they may have to watch our video broadcast last night. I encouraged him to turn the volume down. And you know, it's all a show, Alex.
Part of the production.
It's part of the production. Yeah. We got to draw the listeners in. But anyway, we're going to be right there with you each and every week, like we always are right here on 93.5 FM. But I appreciate you coming in.
I appreciate it.
We'll take a timeout. We'll be back with more sports talk when we return right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kendall Atkinson on this Saturday morning. Kirk is out. Daughter had a baby last night, so we'll give him a pass on that.
That's right.
But congratulations to them. And we'll all be back in full force this Friday night, I hope. I hope we get our cameraman back, too.
I tell you, I wanted to say this last night, but I wish there was a camera inside the box just to see all that you have to do. Because let me tell you, it's very easy if you're watching the stream and you're not able to make a game, because I've missed the last 2 weeks. It's very easy to be like, move the camera or, you know, turn the volume up. But listen, if the people knew, I've got your back on this, because if they want to do it, you won't hesitate to let them do it.
I mean, you got that. Well, I can turn it off.
Because my good, I don't know how you, as a healthcare provider, I don't know how you don't have, you know, vertigo or some kind of condition, because
I got a condition, all right. I couldn't remember my name a while ago. So,
well,
no, it's, I mean, it's just, you just,
I know you wouldn't say it, but I'll say it for you.
Well, you just do it, and the camera sometimes, I have missed worse. I have missed really good plays earlier when we started this. I would follow the play and look back, and the camera would be over at the other sideline, and there's nothing there. But we do our best. Brett's really good at it when he's there, and it makes me look really bad when he's not there. But
that was directed towards the people that like to complain.
Oh, no, there ain't nobody complaining, surely not here, not around here. But, yeah, no, we do. We're trying to provide the best we can. Right. And if you get some bad camera angle sometimes, it's my fault. I mean, I know I got my hand. It ain't like I ain't got my hand on it. It's just sometimes it doesn't move with my eyes. So
it's like playing guitar, the drums, and singing all at the same time.
Yeah, man, it's hard to do. And there is a lot going on up there.
There was
in
last
that box.
Night.
So, yeah, we had a lot of people in that box last night with like the rain coming down.
It's like a Macy's up there.
Yeah. I turned around, and, man, there's all kinds of people I didn't even know.
Oh, I know.
Just hanging out. But they were quiet. That was
a good
thing.
Yeah, they were.
They were respectful for what we were trying to do. But anyway, let's look at the SEC schedule. The morning games, Texas at Michigan. That should be a good one at 11 a.m. Arkansas at Oklahoma State at 11. McNeese at Texas A&M at 11:45. Tennessee Tech at Georgia. That's a 54-point spread.
Yeah, that'll be a massacre.
Yeah, 1 p.m. Cal at Auburn, 2:30. South Carolina at Kentucky. That should be a good one at 2:30. MTSU at Ole Miss, 3:15. South Florida at Alabama at 6 tonight. Buffalo at Missouri at 6. Samford at Florida at 6. Nichols at LSU at 6:30. And then our game here tonight starting at 4:30 with the pregame show. Kickoff time 6:30. Tennessee and North Carolina State. A lot of talk about Tennessee, not just by us and the Tennessee media, but all over. Nico is the hot topic right now. We played one game. It was Chattanooga. Chattanooga is a good team in their division. They were no match for what they were up against the other day. So what do you take from that?
Well, I mean, there has been instances in the past where Tennessee's caught some buzz, obviously, when Hooker was quarterback. Caught a little bit when Dobbs was playing. I try not to get – I feel like it's just as a fan, I get a little bit of bad juju when everybody starts kind of tooting our horn. I would prefer to, like, stay under the radar.
Yeah.
Is Nico good? Yeah. Could he still show some signs of being a little bit young when it comes to lack of experience at that level in a big game? Of course. I think what it boils down to is what we talked about on the way to the game last night and, you know, the strength of our defense. I don't know. I can say I don't think we've ever had as much depth as we do up front defensively. Would love to see Pierce have a big game. I think that's where we can really kind of control our own destiny is staying healthy and then defense being our strong suit, because I do think we've got the offensive firepower to put up points, but it's ultimately going to boil down to how good's our defense going to be and how far can Nico and the defense kind of carry us as we go on.
Yeah, we didn't see a whole lot last week. Pierce, I think, played 10 plays last week. They didn't do much, and we rotated a lot of people in and out. I am impressed with our receiving core. I'm impressed with our running back room.
Yeah,
as well. Dylan Sampson. Sampson, he he played well, and then the other two guys played well. Also, I think our backup quarterbacks. Did a good job.
Yeah. I mean, and, of course, like you said, I mean, it's easy to observe that against Chattanooga. Neutral site game tonight, probably fan base-wise. I would lean more towards a little bit more of their fan base being there. I think it's a good test before we get into the heat of things here in a couple weeks, because nowadays with the change in the schedules, I mean, you know, these non-conference big matchups, I think they're probably going to dwindle out just because the conference schedule's so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chattanoogas and the Kent States, and I think those are also going to kind of dwindle down as well. But really now with the strength of schedule, I think a lot of it's going to be staying healthy because if you get banged up, then, you know, you play Oklahoma and then you turn around and you have just this slate of big games. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
There's going to be a lot of opportunity for criticism down the road.
Sure.
But, you know, the people that make money off these games and set these lines, you know, Tennessee was 4, went to 6, went to 8.
That's it. And
it was over. Is it 9.5 or 10?
It's close to 10.
Close to 10 now. So I don't know what they know. But I think it's going to be a really good game. I think North Carolina State's a quality football team. Their coach wanted to come to Tennessee. I think they talked to him, and they chose to go in a different path. So, neutral site game. The one thing that I had heard, listening to the sports shows up there in Knoxville, like I do throughout the week, is they were having a tough time selling tickets on both sides because of the ticket value.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just hard to go spend that kind of money.
When you have to go to the grocery store and spend $100 on 7 items, you can't afford to go to a Tennessee football game.
I mean, what was it? Claire was telling me the other day that Alabama tickets right now in the upper deck was
$600-$700
a Tennessee game. We ain't even got there yet. We played one game.
I know. Well, I looked at the Kent State game, and it's like $150. It's just like, you know,
yeah, stupid.
I don't know if that's a good sign or I don't know.
That's a sign of greed, and they know you're going to pay it. And here's a eye opener. As long as you pay these prices,
they're going to keep going up.
that's going to happen. Why go down when you don't have
to? That's it.
When you got demand,
somebody will pay it.
That's for sure. All right, we got to get out of here. Kendall, I appreciate you coming in. I know you're itching to get over to the golf course and and do your thing.
I'll be thinking about you.
Well, that'll be fine. I hope you do. And I hope you have a great game over there. But I appreciate everyone tuning in to the program. And, of course, Alex Seaton, coach of Hardin County Tigers, coming in here on this Saturday morning and giving us a little bit of his wisdom on a Saturday morning. Let's see. Coming up at 4:30 this afternoon, the Vol Network will take over, and they'll lead you up to the kickoff between Tennessee and North Carolina State at 6:30 right here on 93.5 FM. And as we talked about, if you missed the game last night or was listening to the game and you'd like to see it, you can go to our YouTube channel at Slice 93. Go there, hit the notification button, hit the like button, and you'll be notified each and every time the Tigers are put on film. So go by and check it out. Last night's game, or their archive right there if you got a game that you want to see from the past. They're all right there. Hey, next week, Tigers back in town. Memphis East will be here as the tailgate party will kick off at 5 p.m., Tiger Walk at 5:55, and then the Tiger pregame show at 6:30, followed by the kickoff at 7, and we'll be right there. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. Be sure to go by Poppy's, get your pick six, get a chance to win some food over there at Poppy's Barbecue and Crump. And remember my guy, Justin Reynolds, as well. If you need legal help, give him a call at 731-925-7000 or go to helpmejustin.com. That'll do it for us on this Saturday morning. For Coach Seaton, for Kendall, for Clark over at the studio, I'm Steve Cornell saying so long, Tiger fans. Go Vols and enjoy your Saturday.